Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi guys, welcome to Lovecast BL Podcast. I'm your host Pixie, and with me is my co-host Alexa, and we have two guest hosts with us today from BL and Chill Podcast, Kim and Banana.
Yay!
Yay!
Hey,
guys.
Yay! I'm so happy to be here.
This is going to be so much fun. We're going to do an unscripted episode, which means that basically we don't know what we're going to do, but it's going to be fun. So me and Kim and Banana have been doing IG lives talking about Playboy, which has been super fun. So we thought that since we had like the slot open very last minute, I sent them a message like this morning about this.
In fact, we do.
They're not hard to get to come and do stuff. So it's good.
Thank you guys for being up.
We've got to stop talking about Playboy. Like, we have to leave now.
We were talking Playboy and we were just like, okay, we have other stuff to do, so we need to end this now. No, this is great. So we've had a lot of fun with the IG Lives. If you haven't seen those, be sure to check it out. It's every Sunday at roughly 2 p.m. if nothing else happens.
If nothing else happens.
Yeah.
We'll keep everyone informed. So I thought, like, since we have you guys here, I thought, like, you've been going to cons, and I, as like a Norwegian living in Norway, like, we don't get cons, we don't get K-pop, we don't get anything. We're just
K-pop?
No, we don't get K-pop. Nothing.
Sad.
It's a very sad existence.
We just get cold.
Be very cold. So I'm just freezing my ass off.
There's no K-pop concerts or anything to soften I'm wrapped
in a blanket because I'm so cold. So that's my life. It's a sad existence. So I need to live vicariously through people who are luckier. And that's you guys. So which cons have you gone to first?
Okay. In a strictly BL sense, because like we were anime fans before, so we've been to numerous anime conventions. But just this year alone, we've kind of been, America's really been picking up on the BL scene. And so we had the opportunity to go to BL Con Texas, And Xenunu happened to have their fan meet in LA, which we're in Vegas. So it's only 4 hours away. I know internationally that's a lot, but
by American standards, that's a quick
Dude, I drove 9 hours to see like this podcast show in Oslo. So it's fine. Wow. We're a long country. It's a tiny country. It's very long.
That's so funny.
And so yeah, we got them to do that. And then we also have started doing a lot of BL Cup Sleeve events here as well. So we've attended a couple of Cup Sleeve events too.
Yeah.
And cool. Yeah, it's really been great. Like I especially love going to these because we actually get to physically see other BL fans versus just the experience online. And that's, for me, it's probably been the best part, is like meeting others, really getting that in-person sense of community.
Yeah.
Because yeah, just like since COVID, everything's online now and it's like, it's not the same.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that pushed us to doing this podcast was because we were missing like more of a community. Like it wasn't enough just writing on a Discord together. So but I do get that, like, it's something else meeting up with people. I know last year I went to see Alexa and Kayla in America, and it was an experience. We had so much fun. It was so much fun, and being able to sit in the same room and film like an episode for the podcast, it was magical.
No, it was a really cool experience, and it's definitely one of those moments where you're like, this is what I've been saying to everyone, because like my mom told like my whole family about the podcast, so now like I had to go out of town on Friday for a funeral, which is like sad, but you know, seeing all the family from my mom's side, and everyone was like, how's the podcast, how's Thailand? And so like every time like I see my family, I'm like, it's like those moments where I basically say like, this thing that I have like no expectations for has like become something so different, where I'm like meeting people from Norway and Australia, and we're like going to different countries together. So it's just kind of like that experience of like the thing that existed online for you also exists offline now. And I feel like it's kind of like similar with what it comes to when it's like comes to going to cons. Cause like, I haven't done any BL stuff because I don't do anything on the East Coast, but that's fine.
Yet.
Maybe soon.
It's getting closer. Okay. It's closer for you. Just saying.
In 2024, fingers crossed. But like I have done like the KCON. I went to KCON like 4 different times in New York and all that stuff, and like my real life best friends that I like live here in my city that I hang out with all the time, like we met on Tumblr because of K-pop. So it's just like one of those things where it's like you're in a space with like, and it's same with just like K-pop concerts in general, which is like the main thing I have experience with, I guess, in the fandom space. Is like being in this space with all these people who like are passionate about the same thing you are. Like the energy is just like so nice to be within. Like you don't have to feel like I think at this point in my life, I've moved past like feeling ashamed for liking K-pop and like being a fandom person and things like that. But like when you're in those spaces, like you don't even have to think about how other people are perceiving you.
Yeah.
So it's really nice.
It feels safe, and you being able to be yourself, like completely yourself.
It is. It's a very safe space because you know you're all here for the same thing. You all love the same thing. And it's so easy to just form group conversations with everyone.
It feels like that barrier of awkwardness that would normally exist with like approaching a person you don't really know is kind of just gone in those spaces.
I think because a lot of the times these things are like really shared experiences, and the things that we experience through, you know, BL shows or K-pop or any of that, like our feelings walking away are usually so similar. So when we meet other people, it's really easy to be like, episode 3, Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, there's no need to really, there's no real need to like preface or have to explain. Like, you can just dive into the thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I also think another thing about meeting people in real life is that I think that the world, kind of what you were saying, it just gets bigger, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think online, there's so much going on. There's so many people talking about things, but I think the world still feels small. It's through like the lens of a computer, it's through the lens of social media. And so being able to go to events and meet people, it's almost kind of like it becomes more real. Like, oh, like this thing that of course exists because I'm engaged in it, but it like exists, right? Yeah. And I, it is a different thing.
Mm-hmm. How was the BL con for you guys? Like, I know a lot of people are kind of skeptical about cons after two Filipino cons being I don't have words. Alexa, do you have words for this?
Are you talking about the one where like Guhart, I just always see the name, went to Earth. And Earth didn't get like that one?
No. Or are we so doing something else? Last year there were two separate cons that were supposed to happen in
one
the
didn't happen.
One did happen. I forgot that one actually did happen.
Yeah, it did.
But they were like these supposed to be like these huge cons. Like they had invited like BL artists in the 10s and 20s. And one of them like essentially turned out to be a scam. Like the people who were hosting it, like the main person just like disappeared. Like it came out that like, I think it was Alex who managed Jaw First at the time and now just manages First was started tweeting like, this con is supposed to be happening in like X number of days and we haven't gotten any portions of our payments yet. Like they're not being upfront with us. And like a couple of days before it was happened, like they announced that it was like canceled and people would be getting their refunds. And then like the it was like a fan run like thing, but like the people who are running it just kind of like disappeared. And I don't think anyone's ever gotten their refunds from it.
No.
And then the other one that happened did happen, but it was just like very much like, if you're familiar with like the Tumblr culture, like Dash Con or anything like
that. The ball pit.
It was very much like that kind of situation. Like a lot of things that were promised didn't happen. There was a lot of stories of like artists who weren't Thai artists kind of getting
cited
for the Thai artists and things
bad
like
treatment,
that. So,
treatment. And we did get some news that after the con as well, a lot of the actors who came down or came to the Philippines to be a part of the con didn't actually get paid.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, that's not good.
Yeah.
And they were like some of the first like conventions, like at least like promoted as conventions that were happening like outside of Thailand. So I feel like a lot of people kind of had like trust issues with international BL cons. And then I think the BL Texas con is like the first one that I've seen, at least, that's actually like happened since those happened last year. So
so I can say, so off the top, I think we're both going to say that it was a really amazing experience and we can kind of like dive into why we felt that way. But I will say that I do think that there was one maybe expectation that people had that didn't quite work out. And and I feel like maybe it's worth talking about just for the sake of people understanding like how complicated it can be to like set up conventions like this. So initially there were actors from a new series coming out called Born Rewy.
They just released the pilot trailer.
And they were supposed to physically be present coming from Thailand. But it was really difficult managing getting their visas together. There's a bunch of different types of visas that actors need when they come. It's like, it's not
even like K-pop, like, depending on like performing visas, I think.
It's really tough and it's a lot of coordinating. There's a lot of things that people on both ends need to do. And sometimes when you're just trying to do things, like, you know how it is, it's busy. And then it ends up being like, oh no, we only have like a couple months to do this, right? And then you're just like hustling. And then sometimes you're lucky and it pans out. And sometimes, you know, the government doesn't get things back fast enough. It's like, you know, so I will say that I think that's one thing. But what they did instead, which I still felt like was amazing, is they did two super long, amazing video calls with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even though they weren't like physically present at the event, mm-hmm. They went above and beyond. Yeah. They were there. They sang us music.
They did the live performance.
It was so fun. So I will mm-hmm. say that maybe some of the people who went might say like, oh man, but like we were supposed to have these actors there like live and they weren't there. But I think that we also have to take into consideration sometimes that like, gosh, this stuff is like really hard to navigate sometimes. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I feel like there's
that. Yeah. I will say, probably from like the outside looking in, because I do remember with like Tumblr's like DashCon, mm-hmm. On the outside people are like, there's a ball pit and like what's going on, but then you had people that were actually there and they're like, no, we had an amazing time, mm-hmm. like no, like yeah. those two perspectives, and so yeah. I think there are probably people with those two perspectives too, like those who did go will tell you like us, like it was amazing, it was great, mm-hmm. for like what it was, first of its kind, it was put together in like less than 6 months,
yeah,
like so like given all like these factors, like we had fun, it was great. But like outside looking in, like people are probably like,
like what?
What even?
Yeah. Yeah. The biggest highlights were like just like back to back video calls. Yeah. At night.
Did you get to talk to Mech too? At.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked with Mech. We got to speak with the two lead actors from the Filipino series Stay. Mm-hmm. We also got to talk with we had two video calls with the Born to Be Y cast, and then we also had a video call with I believe this is Om.
I think that's
from
his name.
My Bromance.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The
yeah.
series. Okay. Gosh, I'm like reaching through my memory now.
Ooh.
And he was super sweet. He serenaded us.
Oh yeah, he took guitar. Busted, like, he wasn't his ass. He just pulled out his because we were like, yeah. "Oh, we need hobbies." He's like, "Oh, guitar," and then he just suddenly just like, "Yeah,
great." But you know, the cool thing about this convention, I'll say too, is that okay, so it was small. I think a lot of people yeah. were kind of like, "Is this real? Is this not real?"
Yeah,
you know,
that's what happened. People have like skepticism because so many yeah. people have been like.
Yeah, so it was small, and I would say that the first day there were maybe 25 people there, the second day maybe climbed to like 35 to 45 people.
Yeah.
And but what was really cool about, or I think kind of like unique about having such a small audience is that when we had these video calls, everyone had time to ask what they wanted. Yeah. Oh, we're opening Q&A. Everyone could go up and interact. Everyone could go up and do things. There was a girl there who was having like who her sister like really, really loved Mech. And she was like, can you just say like hi to her? I distinctly remember this because Mech was like, oh, and he was like saying hi. And this girl was like so happy, but embarrassed that she literally just, like clapped onto the floor and like curled up.
He asked for more details. Like, it was all in Thai, like asking for more details about her, and they're like talking in Thai. And then once they were done, Mech was like immediately like looked directly into the camera and like said her name, like hi. And like she just that was it. But like to be able to have that experience.
That is the Mech effect. Like we got to see that live when we were in Thailand. And dude, Alexa, do you remember that girl who came up to him they didn't come up to him. They were standing giggling at the side and he noticed them. And
beckoned them, like, come say hi. Like, do you want a picture? Like, they were like high school girls and they were just dying.
I love him.
He's so funny. And it's actually because of BLCon that we reached out to him as our first interview. Because like his you guys know, like his vibe is just
he's so funny. He's so chill,
so charismatic, and
yeah.
So. We got mistaken for his new international managers while we were eating with him.
I love it.
You're like, okay.
Go ahead. I'm so sorry.
I was gonna say, I think there's something to be said for like, I don't know if managing expectations is the right phrase, but like with you saying this con was like a smaller one, you know, like the things they offered were mainly like video calls and stuff like that. I think the issue with like specifically thinking about the two like Filipino cons that kind of did not go well was that they were very much out of their depth and they were overpromising a lot, and they were promising all these artists, and honestly, I don't think their teams could manage it, and it just like fell.
Yeah, the one that got completely canceled, they went to Thailand and had this photo shoot with everyone coming, and they were like, wasn't like C and Anu on the list, and
Anu, Max, I know Tool,
Ben like, was there were Max some Tool.
Big names.
Big names.
And so, like, I think they promised a lot, and I think it was a funding issue. And, like, it just, like, hit the point where, like, there were all these expectations that they couldn't meet, and they just kind of, like, dipped. So I think, like, with the BL Texas Con, as much as people might have said from the outside, like, well, what is there to it? Like, you know, they worked within their means, which I think says a lot more than... And aside from, you know, the group that couldn't come because of visa issues, which honestly out of their control at that point, like, as long as they're promising what they said they were, then I think, like, there's a lot to be said for that compared to what some other cons have done.
Yeah. And I do feel like, because we were skeptical in the beginning, too. We had been reached out through our Etsy shop to show up as vendors. And we were just like, we've never heard of this. Like, what is it? What's going on? And even us looking up information, like... It was like a leap of faith to go to this convention because the website was posted through Darby's company, which is like Darby Family Farms.
I remember looking at
the farm website and you're seeing this, and I'm like, are we going to a farm? Like, we just had no idea. And then like the posters were very outdated. Like they had a lot of actors listed that weren't part of the package in the end. Then the stuff they were updated. There were no social, like dedicated social media sites for it. And yeah, we were like, we shouldn't go, especially because like this was happening right after we got back.
We literally got back and it was like the next weekend.
And we were like, but then we were like, we don't want to miss out on something like this, regardless of good or bad. And honestly, like I said, like it was a small setting and you're with your people and it just became like an amazing experience. Like we met so many new friends. Everyone was just like, you know, a lot of people came alone too, because like we just don't have people around us, and then they're always like, we just talk to our coworkers about this or our friends, and they just smile and nod. And like so many people made so many new friends, and just like the whole vibe there was just so positive. Like no one had anything bad to say, no one seemed grumpy about anything, like everyone was just so happy. And like honestly, like that's what we look for when we go to these types of things.
I feel like also we did a vlog of going to BLCon, and there's one part that I kind of remember in it that I must have been doing something else, but you were kind of like wandering around, like with it was kind of the inside. It was between videos. I think maybe we had been watching like Kim Porsche in the room, and then maybe everyone was just chatting afterwards. But you know, it's really easy, I think, I guess again, to speak to the power of community. It's really easy to go to these types of things and feel like awkward, nervous. Like it's hard to just go outside and just talk to people. But there's one part that I remember you did, and you just kind of did like a pan, and you were like, literally everyone in this room was a stranger an hour ago. And you would never know panning around that room because everybody was laughing, talking. There was like K-pop music, dancing to the K-pop music because they like knew the dance moves, and other people were pulling out like photo cards and stuff. And I feel like just so magical because so many people, I think, within probably, this probably transcends beyond BL fandom, but within fandom can feel so alone, right? You're alone, like really excited about this thing. And it is just different, I think, when you can spend those moments with other people who are and feel kind of maybe more validated in your excitement for it, right? But you had asked about, in talking about the convention, were there certain things that you wanted to know about it? Like, did you want to know more about, like, what we did at the convention or anything like that?
Yeah. What kind of stuff? I mean, obviously you mentioned the calls, but I remember looking at the website and, like, looking, but that was so long ago that, like, I would love to know, like, what else you guys were doing there.
Yeah.
I mean, we were mostly manning our booth.
So it was in a hotel, and we kind of had like the second floor. So there was a big
ballroom.
There was a big ballroom, and then outside of the ballroom was kind of like a a big open area. And in that area, there were vending tables. So Jacob, who ran the event, he had a table set up, and he had imported a lot of stuff from Thailand. It was really fun. Thai snacks, so there were like tons of like the drinks and snacks and things that we typically see in BL dramas. There was another vendor who was supposed to be able to come out, but last minute they weren't able to. So they ended up basically just shipping a whole bunch of their merch there. And we set up everything and whatnot. And that was really cool. So they had tons of stuff out there. And then we had our merch booth out as well. And and apart from that, he'd also set up a section where he had, you know, like a Mama brand ramen that we always see.
Okay.
But he had a kind of like an open ramen bar that was for free. So
I feel like it was funny because my biggest takeaway from that was there were four flavors. Only one, I guess, wasn't spicy.
This was really funny, actually.
And it was like out by the end of day one, and everyone's like, "We need more non-spicy food, please."
Like all the spicy things. So mean. It's so funny. I was like, "Wow, we're really, really showing ourselves." But,
because, like, I think only one of them of the four packages was listed as spicy, but all the other ones, like spices, which are still
spicy. Like. I was trying to find ramen in Thailand that I could eat. There was none. Like, I took the most basic-ass ramen I could find and tried to eat it and didn't put any of, like, the spice powder in it. And it was still spicy.
That's amazing, actually.
That is amazing.
Well, I feel like that feeling was mutual with this ramen bar. But that was that was really fun. So, and then, he did have, food trucks, although something went kind of awry the first day. I feel like stuff just happens, but, the food truck that he had reserved for the first day, they reached out on that day to say, "Oh, we just realized that we don't have a food license for your zip code that the hotel is in." So
this is hard. Like,
it's rough, man.
I mean, we have friends who run a food truck here in Vegas. They did. They don't anymore. But like, so in Vegas, we actually have a bunch of different cities, like within. And like, every city has its own codes.
And you have to be like licensed in each one.
Yeah, and you have to be licensed. Yeah. And the problem is like, you know, they don't always line up. So it's like, you can't go to certain cities, even though you're in the same area. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
And so the same thing kind of happened then. But the second day was totally fine. There was definitely a food truck there, and they were just right there at the hotel, and it was super delicious. There was tons of food.
So much food. Like the plates were like,
that's very important.
You know, someone else who was there who I didn't mention, but Cat Talks Thai came as well.
I've seen that she was gonna
She acted as translator.
Yeah,
she's so
sweet. I love her TikToks. She is sweet. Amazing.
She's so sweet, so down to earth, super approachable, super friendly.
Yeah.
We love her.
Yeah. We were able to sit with her actually for both of the events. Yeah. And we were just chatting with her the whole time. She is so, so sweet and fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, so apart from that, the inside the ballroom, they did viewing, kind of like just viewing parties. And so the first day it was kind of kin Porsche. And so the series would play, but everyone could like be watching or chatting. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, there were like little like photo stations set up around the room for like photo ops.
And they were themed after some BL things. So they had one that was kind of like the Tharn type, like tent themed, like the
Cute.
It was cute. And then it was Pride Month. So they had like a whole Pride set up.
Love that. Yeah.
Well, totally. Yeah. And there were tons of giveaways.
Yeah. They had bingo every hour, every couple hours, but with like really good prizes. Like he had just gotten a hold of a bunch of the GMMTV light sticks. Yeah, they were
that
good.
That is so random. I love it. Like, just coming to a BL con and playing bingo.
Like, it was a BL bingo. So I was like listing out like all the tropes. And it was fun because like it was actually, like he did it through a website.
It was cute.
So all you had to do was like, you wanted to like, scan a QR code that had been put on all the tables. And then
a randomized board or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this way, every time everyone would get a different card, and yeah, and like,
oh, that's amazing. Great,
like, people, like, they'd win prizes, they'd swap prizes.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Fun. Yeah. And then we were selling Polaroids because Kim does this thing where she has her desk. And it's gorgeous white desk, but it's very plain. And so what she did was she bought a glass top and she printed out Polaroids of all the BL actors she loves. And she fills her desk.
Yeah.
And she recently changed out her desktop. And so she has all these Polaroids that she doesn't need anymore. So we just sold them off. And like people were like using them like trading cards. Like, oh, you got them. You're trading them. And we're just like, this is.
Yeah, I have my exclusive Polaroids.
Yeah, I have one Polaroid.
I see those.
My one Fort Pete Polaroid, and they are hugging a lamp for some reason. I don't know what's going on.
K-pop photo cards. They have like the most random object, and it'll make the card like 10 times more expensive because I'm just, like, holding this random thing.
They're like, did you get the one with the fish?
Yeah. It's like a Pokemon card that's like the holographic one.
Yeah.
Dude, I would die if I saw like a BL boy pairing photo card with like a fish bowl. I would literally die.
Maybe we should bring props.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
I get very specific Polaroids from you.
Yeah. Right.
Very specific requests.
Fish bowls, cactus. Yeah.
Oh, like good. All the things that in BLs when the camera needs to switch screens and it pans off you, yeah.
We all know what it means. We all know.
No, you know. But overall, I feel like BLCon, it was totally, it was like completely fan put together. No one is actually like in industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so for what it was, like, I feel like it was great.
It was really fun. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, I feel like I think still a little bit back and forth on if it's going to happen next year. I think Jacob has a lot of projects that he's working on with right. So, but hopefully if it does happen again, we would love to go again. Mm-hmm. I feel like when things start, I think it just started, right? I mean, it's tough. But I feel like when things get the opportunity to grow and we get to like nurture that, that's when we really start to see the magic happen. So I feel like the first convention was the first one and now it's the nurturing, right?
Yeah.
We already have like Xenunu.
It needs to start somewhere, right? So
someone has to take the first step. Yeah.
Yeah. And it needs to be realistic and not too ambitious, because ambitious is going to like flame, like, yeah, crash and burn, basically.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. BLCon. It was fun.
I just lost my train of thought.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
I drank my water.
We were saying in our last episode that we recorded where we were talking about like first Kowtung going to Brazil, and then we mentioned like the Xenunu Con, it was like right before it actually happened that like these cons happening, or these fan meets, I should say, these are more fan meets happening successfully, like with Xenunu and first Kowtung and like Forcebook are in Italy right now. I think it's just going to lead to a lot more fan meets happening outside of Asia in 2024. It's going to be the same, I think, with like the conventions and stuff. Like seeing one con happen, albeit a small one, successfully, is just going to have people have more trust in them to happen again and allow them to grow and stuff like that. So yeah, it's definitely a good first step.
Yeah, and even inspire people to, try on their own to do the same. And so. Yeah.
I mean, we had Xenunu, but we even have the online Moss Bank one coming up.
Yeah, that's right. You know? Yeah,
so that's true.
The seeds have already been planted, right?
It's happening.
Yeah,
it's
and happening. Meanwhile, I'm just here in the cold.
I'm not so sorry. Anything.
I'm not invested. I'm not.
The Pixie's always saying, I need to move to Norway, but if yes. I don't get any BL pain.
You need to feel my pain, okay?
No BL, no K-pop.
Dude, well, come to Norway, move to Norway, and we will start the Lovecast Con. Okay?
Lovecast Con. Amazing.
Talking about ambition.
That's so funny. I love it. Well, keep the dream alive.
Yeah.
Keep the dream alive. If you're lucky.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, man. And then you guys were asking about the Z Nunu one, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Kayla was really jealous because Zina knew was like there. That's Kayla's pairing. And when they saw that they were coming to LA, like we were testing a little bit, and like there was a while like they were like, should I just buy tickets to fly across the country and see Zina knew? Yeah, it was just like I was saying, it's like they announced it and then they went on sale so fast, and like it's one thing to buy the tickets, but then to also to buy plane tickets and stuff like that,
and then
we're just like, it's not possible. But next time we know, if they come, I was like, if they come anywhere on the East Coast, we will go. I will take you to Zina New, Kayla. Thank you for making it happen.
Well, you know, but for things that are in LA, like we said, we're just a hop, skip, and a jump away, and most likely we'll be going because it's so close, so we can always help with stuff too. So,
big group hotel.
Yeah, and I mean, me flying to America is cheaper than actually flying in America. Like,
how dumb is that?
America are so expensive. It's ridiculous.
It is.
I flew. I flew to America and back for $500.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so if anyone wants to like go on vacation to Europe, it's cheaper than going on vacation in America. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I did see the latest like flight hack to do now is to just get yourself out of the States.
Yeah.
Like fly anywhere in the world. Yeah. Just like do the little Google map,
cheaper
place. And then from there, go to your travel destination.
Yeah.
And it will be guaranteed cheaper than trying to get there from the United States.
What is going on? Like,
just get out of the States. That's all you have to do. And then you can go.
I mean, and hotels too in America are insanely expensive. They're more expensive than Norwegian hotels, and we're known for being an expensive country.
Really? I'm like, have you heard about our egg prices? No, I'm joking.
But I've heard all about the eggs. I've heard all about the eggs.
Nobody.
Well, that's so crazy to hear.
Yeah,
that's so crazy to hear. Luckily we were able to drive, so and then even more luckily we were able to stay with family out there, so we really didn't have to pay much, which was nice.
I mean, if it makes you feel better, the gas prices were insane.
Right.
That's one thing that's insane in Norway too.
Really?
Like everywhere.
Yeah I have an electric car, so
nice.
It's kind of a fancy car.
Yeah.
Come so I guess it's,
we have electric cars in America too.
We have electric cars with charging stations, but no BL.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You have to do. You have some sacrifices, okay?
That's too much of a sacrifice.
You can take the electric cars. I'll take the BL.
Well, we also do have healthcare, so I feel like either way this conversation goes, I will be winning it.
Picking and choosing priorities.
Well, if you think about it, like, we don't have free healthcare and all this other stuff, but to exchange for that, they keep us happy with K-pop and BL, whereas like you. They're
like, distract you. They're distracting you.
I'll take
they
it.
Are. They really are. Like, here's a good distraction.
No, I was kind of surprised because I had this eye thing, like infection. I still have it and I'm on medication. And I paid $300 in medication so far over a couple of months. And then I got a letter telling me like, oh, you paid $300. Like, you don't have to pay anymore. So all the medication going forward, I'm just getting for free. Wow.
That's a win.
Yeah, and all the visits to the doctor and stuff is also free. Like everything, like medical over 300 for free.
Wow!
Wow! Mm-hmm. I mean, that does sound really
that is
amazing.
Unheard of here in America. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
But we did have
come to Norway yet.
But we I did live in America for a year. I did go to the doctor while I was there. It was expensive as all hell. I'm glad I have insurance.
Yeah.
Ugh, man. Well,
come to Norway. Yay! We can bring the BL here, okay? The K-pop and the BL. We just need more people.
Let's do it together.
Oh man. So what did you guys hear about the Nunu?
I honestly haven't seen like anybody's like, I mean, I know you guys did your vlog. And I think I saw maybe one other vlog, but like I haven't seen a lot of like recaps.
There hasn't been a lot of talk.
I was watching people's stories and stuff as it was happening, but I haven't seen like recaps of like how the event actually went and stuff like that, aside from like your guys' vlog and some other stuff here and there. So I know a lot of like people were there, like a lot of content creators that we follow were there.
There were so many content creators.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that more content wasn't put out about it. Like considering,
right?
You know, I kind of have like a small theory that may not be like reality, but it's my small theory.
We exist in theories, yes.
Yes, support that.
Okay,
care for
I think that you do have like the crossover, I think, of K-pop and BL, right? And so you might have people who are used to having events and stuff like that with K-pop. So the idea of doing like a vlog is more familiar. But I think a lot of the a lot of the creators for BL are kind of like maybe like reaction videos or kind of like opinion type videos or things like
commentary.
That. And it's not necessarily like the vlogging community. So so you have like a bunch of there, but it's not necessarily like
that's not what they do,
their thing. And so but it was interesting to me because we ran into so many and I really expected there to be like, I kept looking for other people's vlogs because I want to be like, what did other people see and like what other fun things did they catch, and there really wasn't a lot, so I totally feel that. But yeah, we can walk you through all of it. I think one of the unique things about this is that you know, to be honest, I haven't really been to like a fan meet before in general. So this was kind of like the first time for me. And going to it, what you said was true. It wasn't really advertised a lot. And I think that, and I think that also part of that is not really knowing what to expect. It was kind of like one of those things where I guess if you're kind of like in fandoms that typically have these types of things, like maybe K-pop, you're kind of like, oh, I totally get this. Like, we're totally going to do a high touch. And meanwhile, when Banana and I were going, we're like, what's a high touch? Like, I had no clue. And so we kind of felt like we wanted to do our vlog kind of like explaining the process and then what everything was. Because for us, we kind of felt like we have no idea. We're very excited, but we have no idea.
Because it's interesting. Because like, we do have fan meets here in the U.S. with our like celebrities from different shows, but it's usually like a convention type setting.
Yeah.
And so I've been to like fan meets before, but you know they're like they're just actors. They're interacting with the audience. They're just answering questions. Yeah. It's not like. Yeah. How even fan meets are, where like, okay, they're going to put on a performance with whatever talents they have. Like I was curious, like, you know, how far are we going to be pushing these boys to, you know, entertain the audience? it was just like, very interesting experience. It was a lot of fun. The ticket sales were tiered. You had like the VVIP who got to sit in with a sound check, get one-on-one photos and get a high touch. The VIP was like the next section back, and they got, I think, a high touch and then group photos, and then your regular audience.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Who just got to attend the concert, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they also got to do High Touch too, though, right? But wasn't it just like a walkthrough?
Maybe.
Like a wave type thing, yeah.
Yeah. And so...
Zee and Nunu are still just as pretty when you are like them. They are right here. In real life. I just blows my mind like how these actors are just still so pretty in real life.
I mean, I
thought the entire time you were in Thailand. Mm-hmm. Why am I standing next to this beautiful person?
I also think like it's really funny too because for the first part of this, we got food beforehand, and then basically there were the lines to get wristbands to get in. But a lot of this was waiting outside. And after you got wristbands, mm-hmm. it was still waiting outside in order to get in for sound check. And the gaps between these two periods were like an hour, 2 hours. And it's like, you didn't really want to leave and come back because you're in line, right? And you're trying to sit up close. So
sound check was free for all seating. And a lot of people who didn't know that because they specifically paid for first row, second row.
They were really panicked.
And not getting that seat for sound check. Yeah. They were we saw a lot of people.
Yeah. But I would say that's the only kind of weird thing is I think there was some confusion over that. But I would say that it was hot. It was really hot. And so I was just hot, humid. And then by the time we got to the end of the performance and you're going up to meet them, you're kind of I'm a melted kid. come on.
Just thinking about how they probably felt too.
But they looked gorgeous.
That's how we were feeling at the end of John Fears with Fluke. Because that boy was just godly. He wasn't sweating at all.
Did not sweat.
What?
Gorgeous. Red in the face, covered in a light layer of sweat.
It's so unfair.
Right? Yes.
I remember too, I remember getting my photo from the end and I was like, I don't even want to see it.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh gosh, the lighting was terrible. Because it was just on stage. They didn't set up any lights or anything. They just gave them chairs and terrible lighting. But they still managed to look good in the terrible lighting. And you're just like, how?
They were trained for this.
So unfair.
But basically, getting in line for risk. I would say that the only thing that I was confused on in the beginning that I'm still not sure about, to be honest, is so they had a table and the VVIPs had a line and VIPs had a line and then general admissions had a line for you to go up and get your wristbands. And then on the side was kind of all the merchandise that they were selling for the event, which was just t-shirts. So it was just t-shirts for the event. And what was kind of confusing is whether or not you had to have a wristband first in order to go buy merchandise, or if you could just go buy merchandise. And some people I know did go up there and were able to get merchandise without a wristband, but I still feel like it's unclear if that was actually the way it should have gone, or if there was just some confusion.
We're just like, whatever.
Yeah. And so that is still something that I am unsure about, but I think there was a lot of panic, right? People were really afraid. They wanted to make sure that they got merchandise. They didn't want to miss out on an opportunity. And so there was this sense of like, am I waiting in line? Am I going over here? And then, and I will say that there was like a little bit of confusion, I think, in the lines having to do with that, which I feel like is fair. You know, it's like the one time event, maybe, you know,
and you're talking about this actually. Tangentish, but that reminded me, like outside, like in again in the sense of community, so many people were giving away so much stuff.
Yeah, like freebies, they stood up for days making freebies.
Yes, like they made thousands of like these like little bracelet thingies, and they were just like passing them out. Some girl made these gorgeous earring jewelries that she was like, "Oh, here, do you want one?" And I'm just, and then there was like, no name attached to this. She was like, "What the fuck I would buy?" Yeah. And then like other people have been up staying up late all week to make this stuff, and there's like giant like body sized duffel bags just full of stuff, and photo cards and stickers, and they were just passing them out. And we were and like, "I'm just like,
you must so have cool. an Etsy. Like, can we like,
yeah?" And no one's so attaching their name.
And they were like, "No, I just did this for fun." And I was like, "What?
Yeah,
that's crazy talk,
dude. It's crazy, like much appreciated." But it's
like, does this happen at K-pop events?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Freebies are a big thing at K-pop concerts.
Wow. Yeah, that's... we missed out. Like, we went to like
I think went to BTS.
We went to BTS because they had that 4-day residency here in Vegas.
I hate you guys. I never got to see them.
And
I was gonna see them when COVID hit. Okay.
But like I said, we're not big K-pop fans, but we have one friend who's like total BTS stan, like in all their fan clubs, and she's like, "No, I'm coming to visit you, and we're going." And so she was able to actually. But we definitely went because I think she goes to all their concerts all the time. Like she was like, "We're going at this time to get in right away," so we missed out on the whole, I guess, K-pop stuff community experience.
Like outside, right.
So like we missed it. So like that was a very new, like crazy experience for us. Everyone's here, and they had like people like if you got there early, there were people giving out like the big posters. And there was like holographic ones, there were glitter ones, and people were like so disappointed that they missed out on those.
Like we missed out on it, and I was really bummed. They were really gorgeous for Xenu. I even went up to some people like, "Can I just take a picture of
this?" Can I just look?
But, I just live the dream.
There was that, and then they had the sound. Like once everyone, they let everyone in, and they had the sound check, and they came out and greeted everyone. They mostly. I was under the impression that Nunu could speak a bit of English, but he stuck Thai the entire time.
Yeah, he might have been nervous.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah. He was very tired, and he's like, "I'm not going to sit here and butcher language."
And also, I have no expectations.
I didn't either, but I was like, "Oh," because I thought he knew, so I would think like, "Oh,
like from what I've seen, I think he does have some knowledge of it. I know he's really good at like Mandarin. He speaks Mandarin pretty well, but I thought he also had some English knowledge, but you never know.
Yeah. He said like a little bit here and there. But it was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. They had a translator behind the scenes, and so it would just be like this like mystical voice float out translating everything. Just coming out from nowhere. It was just like after they say stuff.
I feel like some of the. Oh, sorry. What were you gonna say? Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna jump and do so during the I guess actual performance after sound check when everyone kind of like migrated to their own seats and it all kind of started. I think that some of the games and things that they played, don't know if they fully knew beforehand.
I don't think they knew
everything exactly they'd be doing, and so. But it led to I think a lot of kind of humor with it. So we did one of it was like improv. So I think people had put like ideas into a hat, and then they'd get drawn out.
Yeah.
And right. one of them, I think one of the ones in our vlog was kind of like where it was kind of like, okay, like Z, you're like a bad boy and you're like hitting on Nunu or whatever, right? But they had this like sound booth where they would play like music unexpectedly though. Mm-hmm. So it would be just kind of like they'd be in the middle of talking and then there would be like a dong. And like each time like they would just try
it broke them, like they'd stop and they're just like, or the music would be going, fade out, it would just stop and they're just like
and like there was a part where like Nunu, he was just trying so hard not to laugh, like to like rein it in to like get it back mm-hmm. together, because it's like it was funny.
What was that full prompt for Z? It was like, you're a bad boy but something, and it was like whatever that thing was, it was like conflicting. You're like a bad boy but you're like sweet, or it's like it was something. Oh, and yeah. Z was like,
oh, romantic.
Oh, I'm a bad boy, but I'm romantic. Like, and he was just like,
he was trying to process. Like, yeah. He was so funny. They both were just so fun together. I think mm-hmm. they just took everything in stride and they really yeah. were just having fun with everything that they were doing. Mm-hmm. And I also think that like some of the translations, like I feel like lost in translation sometimes, yeah. right? So I think one yeah. of the other improv things was kind of like, okay, like a ghost story. Mm-hmm. But the interpretation of that ended up being Z pretending like he was getting possessed by like Nunu's ghost. and so he was just kind of cute, like,
you know, like, and then he's like, what is that? And he's like, it's you.
Yeah.
Couldn't you tell?
Yeah, couldn't you tell?
And so I feel like there were a couple things like that that like yeah. maybe again, like I said, maybe like a little lost in translation, but actually because of it were just really, really cute, you know?
Yeah. You know, the funny one was they actually did like a giant board outside the venue.
Yeah.
A lot of the fan groups had put together like little photo booths. There were giant boxes to drop off gifts. There was like a huge banner where you could sign. And then there was a board with sticky notes that was like you could write a note to Z and Nunu. It was actually asking, write a question you would like them to answer. That was not clear in the instructions. So that board came in on stage later, and then they were like, we're going to choose some fan questions from this board.
But there weren't any.
Most of them were comments. Oh, we hope you enjoy. We love you. Thank you for coming. Like there were no questions on this board, and they're like picking them, you know, and Z and Nunu are like, okay, questions. But every time it wasn't a question, I think Nunu just like kept getting more and more sassy about it, which is really funny. He's like, that wasn't a question. And they're like, okay, last question. And he's like, but we didn't get any questions yet.
Like, and he like finally like picked one more, and it was another like just thank you so much for coming type of a note, and like Nunu just kind of paused and he was like, that still wasn't a question, but we love you. It was so cute.
Yeah, they handled everything so funny.
Yeah, they were so cute. I think the crowd was really excited, you know, they did a lot of musical performances during it, and I was like genuinely surprised how many people in the audience could sing along.
Yeah.
I also feel like there were a lot of people from Thailand who came
people from
for
Thailand
it.
Flew out here for this.
Wow. Yeah. Which was really surprising. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were actually sitting next to some, so that was kind of fun. So we could kind of, you know, they were kind of like chatting about some things. And also it was kind of fun kind of following them, because in my mind I was kind of like, oh, like they are used to this. So they kind of like, like what are they doing? Right. Like, and so so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And what else? I mean, I feel like there was so much. It's hard to go back and like recap. The games. The, like the ball game.
Yeah, they had to like throw the ball and catch it. And for every catch they made, like the audience would win a Polaroid, I think.
Yeah.
They had like prizes where if they succeeded in a game, the audience would win. There was that. They had the you know, like that thing you put your hand in and you ask the question, and if you're lying, it shocks you.
Yeah.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. They did that. And Z did not like that.
The question that they asked, like, was, you know, I think people are just, you know, asking silly questions, but they'd be like, does, like, Z, do you love Nunu, right? And so, like, Nunu thought that was really funny. She was like, do you love me? And then Z was kind of like,
yes,
right?
And then he got shocked.
But he got shocked.
And he's like, this is the truth. This is the answer. He wasn't expecting to get shocked. So when it did, it really shocked him. Like, he actually, like,
flew out of the chair.
Like, was crouched over the side, like,
afraid. And then he immediately went over and picked up the device and went to give it away to the audience.
Yep. He's like, no, we're done with this.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's so funny. But actually, Nunu did it after that. And then Z's kind of like, do you love me? And then Nunu was like, I think it's gonna shock me anyway. No. And then it shocked him.
And then it was funny because then the host of the event was like, all right, well, we still have, like, you know, you get three chances. And Z was just like, all right, then you go. Like, he was like, nope. And
so over it. Like,
and she got shocked as well. So, and consensus was broken.
It was out to get everyone that day.
Mm-hmm. It was. It was really funny though.
Yeah.
Because he did. He
plot,
like,
twist. Everyone is lying.
Yeah, he's like just touching it by the straps. He like picked it up and just like gave it away to some very lucky audience member. So
yeah. It was so funny.
But they were really awesome live. Mm-hmm. Their singing was really amazing. I think, I don't know, like, sometimes, like, I kind of think, like, oh, they can sing, I'm really, you know, excited for it, but I feel like there were a lot of moments where I was just sitting there, like, wow, like, they are both really good, like, and then specifically, there were some parts that, like, Nunu sang, and I was just, like, wow.
She's such a good singer.
That man is a voice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that was really cool, and I felt, like, it was really surreal sometimes, like, I was kind of, like, wow, I'm, like, I'm here and I'm like listening to Z and Nunu like sing live. I don't know. It was really
in this
surreal.
Small theater. Like,
yeah.
Like, even there's a big crowd, like, it was small enough where it's like they're right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people that we've kind of chatted with since have talked about how this was a really unique experience in that, you know, going back from that event, you know, Naughty Babe was airing. And, you know, they're watching it, but they're thinking, like, it's actually, like, weird now. Like, it's almost like these people became real to me. Not that they weren't before.
I actually, like, seen them. Like, I sat next to them in person.
Now you're watching them on your computer.
Again. Now you're watching them back on TV. And some people, like, you know, they're like, I don't know if I like that.
Like, you know. I'm thinking too hard.
Yeah.
No, but it's like if you... Yeah. Like, go to a concert and you hear, like, your favorite song live, and then you have to go back to, like, just hearing it in, like, your headphones again, you're like, it's not right. It should only be heard live. You should only be seeing Z Nunu in real life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how that happens, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, at the end, people got to go do, you know, they kind of had an organized fashion of having the general admissions people go up to do their high touches, and then the VVIP go up to their high touches, and then their group photos, and then also, and then VVIP to do their individual photos and high touches. It was really systematic, very organized. It was so organized. To be honest, it was so organized. I'm gonna admit this. You, like, go up and they had both of the boys in chairs and, like, a chair in the middle. So we had VVIP.
You sit in the middle.
And you sit in the middle, right? And this whole time I was thinking to myself,
eating a new sandwich. You
know, but I'd been kind of, like, panicking because I was like, I really didn't think about how to pose. I should have. I don't know. And I was thinking, I don't know what to do. And then walking up, I kind of thought too, like, I actually wanted, like, a moment to, like, take in, like, be like, oh, like, look at a face.
But they were
and
kind
be
of
like,
rushing it.
Like, I'm here.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were rushing it. That honestly, I feel like I was like a scared little mouse. I think I just, like, was up there. I was in my chair. I was like, and then I was like,
yeah, then you go.
And then I was gone. Yeah. And so I do feel a little bit sad about that because I feel like I didn't have, like, a minute to kind of, like, actually
really take,
like,
in and appreciate the experience.
Yeah, I felt just kind of, well, maybe with fan meets in the future, maybe it would feel a little bit different. Like, I've been through it once, so now I can, like, not be nervous about it.
Yeah, because, you know? Like, the only like visceral memory I have from that is, well, first of all, I personally think high touches are weird, especially post-COVID. So I was wearing, like, a sweater, and so, like, I had my, like, sweater covering my hands because I was like, I know they're hot and sweaty. I don't want to. I don't want to touch their hands. I'm sorry. Like, eye touches are awesome, but like, yeah, like we are not actually doing any skin to skin contact here. No, thank you.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. That. And then I just remember when I sat down between them, I could feel their body heat. Like those poor boys were so, hot after that performance. You need to put back on like all those layers.
Yeah. Because they're really fashionable. They're wearing like three layers and like a leather jacket. I was like,
So I just remember like sitting there and just like feeling the thing. And I couldn't even, but what I will say to them is they are really great at improvising to match everyone's poses. So like everyone's sitting there and they'll like bust out something and they immediately like will go into like match, adapt like with adapt with it and run with it. And so, but they were very strict on like, once you get your high touch, don't touch the actors. So they were saying like, if you're doing that heart thing, like you couldn't actually like, they need to, there needed to be a bit of distance.
Which makes sense.
Which totally makes sense. But they were just really great at like adapting to everyone's last minute, like panicked poses type thing. I remember there was one girl that came out and she was wearing like a cape and she sat down and just like threw the hood up and just sat there with them. And I remember like, I distinctly remember they both kind of looked at her and they were like,
they both did like zombie poses. It was really funny.
It's just great to see like how good they are at just kind of like going with whatever situation and running with it.
I should say too that they were both really tired. They were both really jet lagged, but they did not, like, they are true showmen, right? Like they were totally there. They were totally present for everything that was happening at the end, even though when I do remember going to sit between them thinking like they're beautiful and tired. I remember like that thought crossing my mind, but they're there and they're, you know, they want to make it really great for everybody. And I think I really just got the sense that they really appreciated and were really just happy to be there despite being tired. And I thought that that was really cool.
I
mean, I think you're lucky that you got to like go to this first one, because I think like it's, if they do more, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and harder to have like these more intimate personal connections through the fan meets. So
I mean,
I was just gonna ask, like, what was the like price of the tickets?
Oh yeah, what was it? 180?
No, I think with fee. Oh god. Hang on.
She bought the ticket. She'll pull it up. So there were different tiers. I don't know if I'm gonna remember the cost of the other tiers. But let's see.
I remember when I saw them, I felt like they were more reasonable than I expected they would.
They were more reasonable than expected. Yeah. Our biggest fear was we were scared because it was through Ticketmaster, and Ticketmaster always like withholds tickets
notoriously.
And so that was our big fear, was like, if they do that, like if we can't get tickets, like what price we were willing to upsell to. But I think because it wasn't such a huge rush in the beginning, they re-released the tickets. And
we're almost there, sorry. Well, while she's looking,
keep talking.
I'll interrupt. While she's looking for that, though, so you guys have both been to K-pop concerts and had kind of like the similar type of event, right?
I've tried, but I've never been. I've tried.
What do you guys, just out of curiosity, what do you guys like and dislike about fan meet type of things?
So I didn't think definitely, like, with my K-pop concerts that I've been to, they've mostly just done high touch, and I've had it, I think, for two or three, and I think the rushing is always hard. A big thing that people mention. Like, I have a distinct memory of, I went to see the K-Band Day 6 in 2018, one of, like, my favorite Korean groups, and I tried to say, like, I was going through the high touch and, like, tried to say, like, a full sentence to, like, my bias. And the security guard, like, essentially pushes you along if you say, like, more than, like, hi, thank you, or I love you, you know? So I think that's, and honestly, like, they're doing it for artist protection and safety reasons and things like that. So I get it to an extent, and they're trying to keep everything going in like a timely manner. But I do think it's kind of like, you know, you're seeing these artists that like mean a lot to you. And then like, I feel like I don't even have like distinct memories of like actually seeing them because it goes so fast. You're like, did I even see your face?
I know I wasn't looking at that. I was so focused on like, get the high touch, get the photo, get the high touch, get the photo.
I was like, is my hand in the right place? Like, you know,
this kind of makes sense to me because I've seen a lot of videos. So at kind of like the fan meets that are in Thailand, and I actually in the past used to think it was kind of like a little, I don't want to say like funny, but like I noticed it, but people would always be going through with their phones. Right. And then they would
record the experience. Yeah.
And I used to think like, gosh, it's so funny. We're like such a phone culture right now.
We
like,
were told we could do that. Well, I remember we were told like when we were doing like here for Z and Nunu, they were like no phones.
But yeah, I was thinking, I understand why people do that. Now.
Yeah,
that, you know, and you're probably just, I don't know, it's like you don't necessarily feel completely present in that moment, right?
Yeah, I mean, when we were doing our interviews and like meeting these actors in real life, like we don't remember anything from doing that. Like
all on adrenaline.
It's like, thank God we have like film of it.
Yeah, evidence, it did happen.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, prices. To just attend the concert and get the high touch, it was $100. VIP was $180, and then VVIP was $250.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not bad. I don't know if you guys watch Korean dramas at all or do anything in that realm. But the actor Jung Hae-in, he's done like DP, One Spring Night. He's like, I don't know where I was gonna go with that. He's like a really well known like Korean actor, I guess, is just to put it simply. Yeah. But he did like a little U.S. fan meet, and cute. I really liked a lot of his dramas. So I was like looking at going because he was going to New Jersey. The general admittance tickets started at $200 for like the upper like section, and then with the fees for the site that they use, it was going to be like $300 just for like the basic general admission, like nosebleed section of the theater. And I was like, I can't justify that right now. And I was following the event just like to see how it went, and like the theater had like maybe the first like 10 rows filled just because like the tickets were so ridiculously like priced. And I'm like, I feel like it's hard to find a balance of like, you need to charge enough to, I guess from their perspective, make money off of the event and make it more worthwhile. But also like, if you're making it priced so high that fans can't even afford to go, then you're going to be operating at a loss anyways. So I don't know. I think I was surprised that the Xena new ones were like a lot more reasonably priced than I expected them to be. And it was nice to see. I think that like we've seen happen with K-pop, if we start getting more BL fan meets and cons, they're going to start getting more expensive. But it was nice to like at least I start out at like a range at like for what you're getting and like the experience. I feel like $250 is like pretty manageable price.
It might be like the venue too, because it was in a theater, but it's a theater that's in a church. So very I don't necessarily know if this place was like is like a venue. You know what I mean?
And I guess I'm saying this because like all here, like our venues in Vegas are all like concert venues. Or they can be converted into like, you know, like rodeo stages. Like they're not your classic theater stage where it's like, you know, you got theaters, you got the curtains and you've
velvet
got like,
seats.
Velvet seats, about like it's so like I feel like in Vegas like it's probably a unique thing for me to be like, oh, we're actually here in a
theater.
And then it was just weird that it was in because California, the history of California, they have like missions built up the along the state to convert all the local Indians, and I grew up in California, so I was like, oh yeah, it's weird that this is happening at one of the missions. But the theater was gorgeous, like it was just weird that it was taking place at a mission. But I mean, I'm probably also did help to keep the cost down as well.
So
it's not like an actual venue that's
Yeah
interesting,
but I do think that made it, I would say, Well, if I'm just talking about that, because it was that way, I think that's also why a lot of the waiting had to be done outside.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't like the type of venue where you can just go inside and like loiter. And
there's like, yeah, like a hallway. Yeah.
Space to like wander. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's like you're literally like waiting for the doors to open. Like, let me into the
PC. You're in the theater. Yeah.
I had the same experience going to see Trash Taste podcast live in Oslo. Mm-hmm. That was in a small like theater venue, and we had to wait outside before we got in, and we had to stand in line for the merch booth before we got to like where we sat, and that was $252 for the VIP tickets.
Yeah, was it?
I remember I think the only podcast I've ever done was Welcome to Night Vale. They went on a tour and they actually ended up, their performance was at the local community college.
You went to that?
Yeah. And it was only like $20, probably because it was at a college location. So like, no, you got to keep the tape if you're going to be working it with us. So yeah, it was only $20, but they did it at night, like pretty late at night. And yeah, it was a cool experience to see that. But yeah, but because it was there, like, you know, it was more indoors and stuff. So
It is tough thinking about like how things are eventually going to price up.
I'm not looking for like I'm excited for the growth of BL to happen in America as they bring more, but I'm not looking forward to the, like the prices and then the crowds
going up. I
mean,
fingers crossed that this is the exception. I don't know
attend one before another one before things start getting too crazy.
Well, it'll be like better to just go to Thailand and go to the fan meets there. It'll be cheaper at some point.
Probably, yeah.
You're totally right.
I think just what's hard about that is there won't be a translator to explain everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Mm. You'll be okay, on your own. I think like in America, you guys will, when it gets more popular, you guys will have problems with people buying tickets than reselling them for higher prices. That doesn't happen in Norway because it's against the law of the whole country. Like, you can't sell a ticket for more than you bought it for.
All right, another plus for Norway.
But you have to have things to buy.
We can get all the BL fans here, and it'll be enough people that we can get some BL boys here. Okay.
Do it.
You guys have fun.
So you guys are on another level of Delulu.
Oh my gosh. Well, I feel like we've been really lucky this year. I think a lot has happened, and I think that we are, of course, starting to see online fan meets kind of pop up, and I mean, hopefully they do really well, so, you know, that can continue and be more of a thing as well. I do think that, you know, in-person fan meets great, but online fan meets will probably maybe be a little bit cheaper for people who like just can't travel across the US, which I think is also like a challenge.
This Moss Bank one, the general admission is just $20.
And
the ones where you get like the phone fan calls with them, I thought were like really, really reasonably priced.
Yeah, 60 and 90, I think, is what the
ones are. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But
have you guys ever done one-on-one calls with like a K-pop person or an actor or anything like that?
Not if you don't include our interviews, like, which are technically one-on-one phone calls.
No, I haven't either. I guess I was just thinking that anytime I've ever thought about, well, I've always thought in the past, like would I? And I don't know that I would, but I was thinking, what am I going to say in a minute?
Yeah.
I've always had this thought of like, I literally have no clue.
Yeah, no, we have about,
like, the fan sign calls for K-pop. I could never, like, I don't know. I think of like doing the podcast as something very different from like if I were to win like a fan sign call with like my favorite K-pop idol, I would just be sitting there like.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it because I'm awkward and enough as it is when we're interviewing these boys. Like, I could not do like a one-on-one. I would.
Yeah.
Mm,
Yeah,
I feel like it is like a different frame of mind. I think obviously when we're all doing interviews, like it's kind of different, and I think maybe that's also why it's challenging to think of like
yeah, it's fun. It's one thing to like see them and then like, oh, I get an opportunity to talk to them, but it's like, okay, but now what? Like, past that, and I'm just like, I can. Yeah, I'm terrible. I recognize within myself that I typically struggle to carry on a conversation with people I'm not comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, as fun as it would be, like one-on-one time with Moss Bank, I'm like, I don't know them. Like, I can do interviews just fine. I can carry on a conversation then. Sense as a fan, I'm like,
it's just like to have like a conversation with no script, no question to ask.
That's too hard. No, thank you.
That's so funny.
I will say, having a one-on-one with Moss Bank, like Bank is gonna talk all the time anyway, so it's fine. You'll be fine. He'll hold the conversation. Okay.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
From personal experience.
He's got this. You don't even have to worry.
No. He's got it.
That's so funny.
No, but this was so fun, guys. We've been talking for a little over an hour, and it's getting late here, and I know Alexa has a lot to do, and we kind of sprung this on you guys, so we have stuff to do, too.
Yeah. Whenever you need us. Yeah, Beal and Chill's down for a good time.
We love it.
So everyone should head on over to Beal and Chill. You guys have a YouTube, right?
Mm-hmm. We do.
And with vlogs and interviews and podcast episodes. Mm-hmm. And you have podcast episodes on all the normal podcast platforms.
Yeah,
podcast.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Put all the links.
And then we have a Twitter where we can do Yeah, we have our Twitter for like more of like the fan, like every episode. Mm-hmm. And just like, And then there's Instagram to keep up on what we're actually doing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we'll put everything in the description. So, guys, go check them out.
Banana and Kim are doing their Playboy recaps every Sunday.
Yeah, please join us.
Share your thoughts with them.
We have theories, okay? It's good.
We have serious theories. We've already decided.
We know what's going to happen.
The plot.
That way the show is wrong.
Yeah, dude, if it ends any other way, like, it's wrong. And we've already written the right ending, so it's fine.
Oh,
no, yeah, this was great, guys.
Thank you.
Everyone listening, make sure to like do the whole subscribe and like and whatever. It really helps us out. Yes, we do have a Patreon, which I need to mention. Alexa is doing her very own first reaction series.
Twilight, I am on our Patreon. Selected certified Jimmy C trash of Lovecast, so I'm doing Last Twilight right now.
How did you react to that final scene? Have you watched the last episode?
I watched it yesterday.
We lost our minds too.
Yeah,
go on Patreon and check it out. Alexa, you don't get to say
spoilers.
Anything.
No spoilers, but I lost my mind.
We also have reactions of me doing Only Friends, and Kayla did Naughty Babe, and she also has they also have the Kin Porsche reaction from when that aired on there. So there's lots to go through and lots of fun. Yeah. And our Discord. Be sure to go to our Discord.
There's a lot of promo.
A lot of stuff. A lot of talking. We like have a chat, like a channel for every show. There's a lot of active people, a lot of fun. And yeah.
That's so exciting.
Did I go through everything now without a script?
I think that's everything.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
we will be back with more. We still have Thailand content coming, so we have more interviews, and Heather obviously just went back to Thailand, So there'll be interviews from that coming as well. So more Thailand stuff, more regular episodes coming in the new year when we actually have time.
BL Awards. Again. Everything BL is awards. Coming.
Our favorite shows of the year is coming soon. That's always a fun one. I think everyone, my lists are always so predictable because I scream about my favorites online the entire time they're airing, but it's fine.
I'm so predictable too.
Yeah,
so yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up and say goodbye. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.